Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, folks, to Hamp's Corner of America, a corner where your host, Codis Hampton II, hangs out with notable guests discussing topics of interest to you and yours. Milwaukee's 13th and Juno is where our host grew up, where his creativity and his imagination originated. Hamp's Corner of America is where we discuss, debate, and innovate. In the end, we will all leave with a sense of purpose. Come on, hang out with us. And now your host, Codis Hampton II.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Hamp. Here at the corner, we're pleased that you're taking the time to check us out. We are old school here, without disregarding the contributions of hip-hop to our current state of being. You will find that we often refer back to our past, as we do believe that if you do not know where you came from, you most certainly will not get to where you want to go. It is our hope that you will hang with us and our guest of the hour and even contribute to the discussion so that we may leave here having gained or at the very least enhanced our perspective on the topics of today. And by all means, have fun while doing so. Without further ado, let's get deep into it.
Hello, 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 folks. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're taking the time to join us. We're bringing you a special show today in a couple of ways. Today's topic and our mantra, as always, to find interesting programs that help our young folks in various ways. We have as our guest Dr. Carrie Fraser. She will give us insight on one such excellent program entitled RUHA, sponsored by the First AME Community Church Body Soul Health Ministry. In the second part of our show, we will review an excellent R&B singer CD. His name is Calvin Richardson, and I know you will not be disappointed after hearing this young man's sound. But before I bring on Dr. Carrie Fraser, let me play something that is appropriate to today's main topic. This is from the late George Duke's last CD. The CD is Dreamweaver, released in 2013, just before he passed. The cut is entitled Change the World. It features Layla Hathaway, Jeffrey Osborne, Lori Perry, B.B. Winans, Dira Sagandi, Freddie Jackson, Terry Dexter, and Kenny Fusilla. It is a fitting reminder that we, the people, make up the world. Therefore, if we want to change it, it is up to us to facilitate that change. Here is Change the World.
My main theme is the danger of nuclear weapons.
We are at a very critical point in American history.
As the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
Idealism is very important.
We can change the world. We can change the world.
With all the problems we face in the world today, I know it's difficult to believe that a single person or a group of people can possibly make a difference. But every solution begins with a dream. And a dream is the substance of things hoped for, and hope put into action can be the beginning of something profound. My wish is that this song will uplift spirits and musically offer the positive messages that the world so desperately needs.
Gather around and talk a minute. What I have to say is quite simple, but very hard to do. What have we got to lose?
There are problems everywhere. Seems like people just don't care enough to make a change. They keep on playing the same old game.
USA to Africa, Mexico to Indonesia. Imagine what we could be if we open up our
back. And without further ado, let me introduce Dr. Carrie Fraser to our audience. Are you there, Dr. Carrie?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so how are you doing today?
Doing well. Doing well, thank you.
Very good. I want to thank you for being on our show. And I know you used to pity-patting around, so let's get right into it. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a senior citizen that was a part of the civil rights movement and got involved when I was about 16. From there, graduated from college, Southern Illinois University, and went on to marry and have two adult children who now are into their 40s and have been more or less a community activist as well as a social worker throughout my career. And that's involved teaching, case management, even had a chance to write a book, and also do a lot of organizational development and consult with schools and hospitals and churches.
What was the book name?
It was people who, at the time when I was working with UC Medical Center, kidney dialysis was a new treatment procedure that had come up on the scene, and many workers were not trained in how to do social work and be able to help the patients and families, so that's what the book was about. It was called Social Work and Dialysis, Psychosocial Aspects.
Oh, all right.
And that was back in 1981.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, then what type of program is RUHA, and who is designed for it? I mean, who is designed, or should I say, who is it designed to reach?
Okay. Well, RUHA Community Outreach is a faith-based outreach organization designed to really reach out into the African-American community. One of the major concerns that I had along with other people is that our family structure in the African-American community is really not in the best shape. We have at least 43% of our households, or 48% are single families, headed by single mothers, and we have a 63% school suspension rate for boys across the country, as well as a 68% rate of incarceration for adults and young adults. And so with that, you don't have a lot of structure and scaffolding at home to be able to keep families together, not to mention the economy not being there. And so we just felt that we needed to do something to try and help to at least reverse some of that trend. And so that's how RUHA Community Outreach Ministries came about.
Okay.
And
we
focus in serving East and Central County. And so you'll find our outreach goes as far as Concord, Martinez, all the way to Bay Point, Pittsburgh, Antioch, as well as Brentwood.
Okay. And that's in Contra Costa County, right?
Right, Contra Costa County.
Yeah. Do you do any reach out to Alameda County, which includes Oakland, or is that something that that's in the future or something like that?
We probably will do collaborations in the future, but as a startup, we've been in existence since 2009. And so we just didn't want to bite off more than we could chew, because the issues that we're dealing with are really, they're pervasive in all the different areas, but it's a lot for one organization to stretch themselves that far, you know, with limited resources. So we wanted to stay local where we could make the relationships that we needed to make an impact in East and Central County.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. I understand you said the program has been in place since 2009?
Right. When we got our incorporation as a 501c3 2009, and we began advertising and actively putting programs into the community 2010. And so we've been active for the last 5 years.
Okay. Okay, I know the mission statement says the intention of RUHA is to break the cycle of dysfunction and underachievement within the African-American community by empowering people. And it goes on to list a few goals. My question is, have you seen this in practice, and have you gauged the reception from the community, meaning are people, first of all, receptive, and second, do they look upon the program as sorely needed and helpful?
I would say a resounding yes to that. I just finished doing a newsletter for just capsuling the last year, and one of the things that, in terms of looking at the data that we've had about our impact, we've been able to serve over 17,500 people over the past 5 years, and that's 60% adults and 40% children. And it's everything from counseling to being available at resource events and providing health and mental health education information, as well as offering programs like Rites of Passage, cultural events like the Black History Art Exhibit, Kwanzaa, and also being able to provide food and clothing for people, especially during Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Okay. 17,500 people. That's quite a bit. That's quite a bit. And I understood you to say 60% adult versus 40% children. So I didn't realize that, I understood that adults was included in the program, but how do you sort of get them to mesh with what you're doing, so to speak, for the children?
Well, whenever we're doing things for children, and in particular the Rites of Passage program, we have to insist that the parents come. You know, often children get dropped off and then picked up when the program is finished in terms of the different segments of it. But with the Rites of Passage program, the way it's designed, it's a life skills training program for young children from 8 up to 17 years old. And so we really believe that unless the parent is there having some knowledge of what's being taught to their children, if we run classes simultaneously, the children are in one part of the building and the parents are in the other, but we try to help them to understand the information so when they go home, they can have a conversation about what they're learning. And so that adds sometimes new information into the family that helps to strengthen the family.
Oh, no, that sounds good. Those type of statistics seems to be better than a normal PTA attendance, you know?
Now, when you say PPA, I'm not sure what that means.
No, the Parents Teachers Association after school. You know, because it seemed like, you know, when you go there, people are wondering where are the parents, and, you know, so that's what I mean. But you,
right,
you
parent engagement is a major issue throughout the school systems and you know, any programs dealing with children. It's really hard to get parents out. So what we looked at was we really wanted to be just pure about our motives so that we could design a program that we felt was going to be effective and not water it down by offering bribing people to come. We really wanted them to come because they could see some value in it.
Oh, that's cool.
And we've been blessed that that's worked out so far.
Yeah, it certainly seems so, it just seems like it's working. How is the word getting out about the program, through its deeds and word of mouth, or is it a combination of things?
It's a combination. We've been blessed to be able to have some media venues, like KDIA Radio was one of the places that we started. I had a show there for about 4 or 5 months just talking about the ministry and what it was supposed to be doing. And then we've been able to connect with other people who have access to media to be able to support us in using their networks to get the publicity out. And, of course, word of mouth is always the foundation of all of that, as well as, you know, using the computers. We're kind of moving up to social media. We haven't quite got there yet, but that's on the horizon for the future.
Now, I do want to ask you a question about the period that this last class went, you know, what was the period involved? Was it several months or a couple of months, or could you just give us that period?
For the current Rites of Passage class?
Yes, yes.
Okay. You know, one thing that I do want to kind of correct when I was listening to the intro, we received a small mini grant from First AME Community Church in Bay Point be able to do the Rites of Passage Academy at their church, but they don't sponsor Ruha Community Outreach Ministries. We're a freestanding ministry.
Okay, great, great.
Yeah. And
great.
So we hold the classes at their facility right now, and we have another one starting up in March. But to get back to your question more specifically, the classes run about anywhere from 12 to 16 weeks, just depending on the, you know, the schedules of the parents and the availability of facilities. And so we're just finishing up on the 31st, on Saturday. We'll be graduating the class who's gone through for the 16 weeks and taking a break, and then we'll come back in March.
Okay. So so you'll come back with a new class?
Right, new class in March.
Okay.
And we'll run for probably 12 weeks because we try to be mindful of the holidays and, you know, other things that can interfere with the class schedule.
I see. And so the graduating class that finished up this weekend will be, they'll receive certificates and what other things?
Exactly. They'll receive certificates, educational materials, and also a notebook of all the materials that they've used in the classes. And the parents will have like a parent handbook, and the students will go home with their handbook for future reference.
I would imagine,
something about the things that we, yeah, and some of the things that we covered in the class were money management, anger management, stress management. We focused on academic excellence, in family relationships, and looking at how to prevent drug abuse, as well as also the whole bullying, including cyberbullying. And these were classes that were really caught the attention because they're current with what's going on now. And we also do a lot of work on character development. You know, people use the word respect, and they want respect, but they don't necessarily know how to give it and what it really means, and then how to be that kind of person that people want to help or engage. And so we believe that character development is really critical, and it leads to increased self-esteem and confidence in the kids when they know that they're doing the kinds of behaviors that will get them the respect that they're looking for.
It sounds like you've got a very interesting curriculum there, which would explain why some of the parents are so interested. And plus, it seems like just the idea of them doing something with their kids makes it a kind of a very successful program.
Right, and we really have a good time because some of the classes, even though I mentioned earlier we separate the parents and the students, some of the classes we do joint. For instance, like the money management, everybody gets the same message because we know in a lot of homes nobody talks about money, really, except to say don't ask for anything and no, I don't have any. And so looking at money in terms of how to save, looking at it in terms of how manufacturers look at being able to get your dollar out of your pocket, also helping the children understand how parents have to really work hard to be able to make the kind of money to get the things that they want. Once they become a part of being that consumer and we give them money that they can spend and put in different places, the parents and the children really, it takes on a whole other life of itself. And they really get the point. They really get the point.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I would imagine there's some play acting within the classes themselves to sort of drive it home, like,
For sure, role playing. We've been blessed with facilitators who are animated. They know how to relate to young people and adults. And so the workshops are interactive and very engaging. Now, one other thing is that the parents, when they are split off and it's just the adults, what they begin to do is develop relationships that they didn't have before. So people begin to bond as parents and talk about issues that they may not have talked with other people about in terms of just knowing that they're in the same boat with parents who are dealing with the same issues.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, you know, just the way you're talking about it, I could see success is just it's just amazing to me that the structure of the program is such that it just invites success.
We found that, and we've, like I said, we've really been blessed because it's kind of an against all odds kind of thing, because if you go some of the traditional ways, you don't get people to show up. But when if you're willing to take the risk and wait and be patient, it begins to pay off. It begins to pay off.
Yeah. Do you see it growing in scope among the community served? And, I mean, I guess that's a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Well, I see it in that one of the hallmarks of our first rites of passage class was we had a young man there who was he was just going into high school, and he was pretty ambivalent about what he wanted to do and all of that. And we got a card back a few years later, as I mentioned about being patient and waiting. He graduated from high school and he was on his way to college, but he wanted us to know that he was making a success of his life.
That's great.
And we've had students who, because of the emphasis on the academics in our workshops, their grades have improved at schools, and even behaviors if they were prone to being disruptive and having problems in that. And we've gotten response back from parents that have thanked us for being available not only to the children but to them, because we don't just stop when the class stops. The way our structure is set up, we try to follow the children and the parents and be available if they do need additional things.
Let me ask another thing that just popped into my mind. Is there a dress code for this class while the instructions are actually going on?
You know, we've thought about it, and I think one year we did have some T-shirts, but given when the economy changed, we didn't want to put that expense on the parents, nor did we have the funds. We wanted people to be comfortable, so you wear whatever you are comfortable with, and it's on a Friday night, so it's pretty casual. The only time that we ask about maybe having something that's more uniform in color is during the graduation, but to have them maybe wear black shirts and pants and, you know, that kind of thing, because we have, you've seen the kente cloth scarves that a lot of the people use, especially during Black History Month. Well, we have those for them, and so it just stands out when we take pictures. But other than that, there's no restriction on dress code or anything.
Well, okay, let me go to the direct question I had, from the thought I had in my mind. As you know, we walk down the streets and we see our young people with saggy pants. So what do we do about that issue, or what do you guys do about that issue when they come to class like that?
They don't come to class like that.
Okay.
Fortunately, we have not had any students. And, you know, we don't talk against it, because we understand that it's a thing, the face that many young people will go through. But with the groups that we've been dealing with, because sometimes we'll get more kids who are in elementary school and then some that are in middle school, or there may be a mix. And so the ones that we've encountered have not gotten so into that that that's the first thing you see when they come in. And then they kind of look around to see how other people are dressing. And so, you know, they typically want to conform to how everybody else is doing it. So we haven't had that as an issue.
That's where I was going with that conformity. Yeah, it tends to be, you know, it's almost like the bully. You know, everybody, the bully always wants to be seen and heard bullying somebody, but you get him by himself, then it's a whole new different conversation. Yeah.
Right.
So
right,
somewhat
right.
The same thing. You know, they I imagine they see good behavior around them, so it makes them want to, you know, to be involved.
Right. And I credit the parents for that, because it takes a lot for a parent to say, I'm going to take my child to this program, and it's not anything like the child's friends are doing or even their friends are doing. So they're really taking them out of their familiar element to bring them to us. So, you know, and I'm sure they talk a lot about how you should be and how you should act, so that's work that we really don't have to do. We address anything that stands out during our character development piece.
Okay. Oh, that's just wonderful. That's just wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about the African American Family Preservation Institute, or AAFPI as it's called?
Okay, I can, and I'm glad that you asked that, because typically the focus is on our cultural events and on rites of passage, but we really are looking at that 48% of households being headed by females, and we want to work with families to help families, number one, stay together and be emotionally healthy and strong, but also to offer enrichment workshops for couples as well as counseling to help to change that divorce rate and or separation, child abandonment, and domestic violence. Those are big issues that I think impact our families in ways that once that cycle gets started, it's nothing good can come out of that, and it affects the children in very, very negative ways and has long-term consequences. So we call it African-American family preservation because we really feel that the African-American family is in danger.
Yeah.
And if we don't do these kinds of things, then where will they go? An interesting phenomenon is that the only way you get help, if you don't go to a church where they've got a good program that's really structured around the family, or if you're not in the children and family services system, welfare system, mm-hmm. or schools, you don't have a chance to get the help that you need. And with the schools and with the welfare system, typically there has to be something wrong before you get the kind of support as a family that you need.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so we get a chance to engage in a real proactive way. Before people get in trouble, or if it's just minor, then we can come in and do counseling, case management, whatever they need in order to keep them stable.
Hmm. Well, I was impressed before. I'm even more impressed now. I tell you, this it sounds like an excellent program. It really does.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So, my goodness. The first one was 16 weeks, and the next one is going to be 12 weeks. So, now let me ask: how do people get involved in this program? Do you select them?
Well, what we do is there's something called a community partnership in East County that all the agencies that serve families, they have email blast that goes out to all the different agency coordinators, and so we put the word out that way. Then we have a mailing list that we've an emailing list and a mailing list that we've developed that's have people in it, and we ask people to please pass that on to their network, mm-hmm. as well as announcements. We have flyers that we circulate everywhere, and we also work with the Antioch Arts and Cultural Foundation in Antioch, and she has a newsletter that she, Mrs. Diane Gibson Gray, has a newsletter that she puts out on a quarterly basis. I think it's monthly, yeah. And so whenever we have something coming up, she will start the ball in terms of getting that out, and then we follow it up with additional flyers and information.
I see. And is there a maximum amount of people that you can actually take for the classes? Or
We typically would want to stop at 15 at any given
mm-hmm.
16 weeks, just
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you want to have maximum opportunity for the children to interact, and also
mm-hmm.
in terms of staffing. We have volunteers, but we never have as many volunteers as we could use, you know. And so given our board has been the primary teachers in this process, and so we just didn't want to overtax anybody. And
mm-hmm.
so we could manage up to 15 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Our long-range goal is to begin working with the colleges and students who are in graduate school that need field placements. So we're going to do a lot of training this summer so that we can run more than one class at a time. And so we'll be able to have a capacity for more students.
Okay. Well, very good, Dr. Carey. We're going to take a little break here and give you a chance to breathe because you put a lot of information in front of us and valuable information. Well, we have to digest this a minute. Anyway, let me do a little ad, and we'll get back to you in a couple of minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right. This program is brought to you by Hamp's Corner of America parent company, the CHEA Group. You can check us out at www.hampscoa.net, where you will also find how to order my latest book entitled Episodic Thoughts of Hemp. You can also find my blogs on a regular basis at www.katara-rhythm.com. That's katararhythm.com. We have a new shirt line, which you could find at the website I gave you, hampscornerofamerica.net. You'll hear more about that later. It's called All Original AO. We won't go into too much of that now, but we'll get back to it. All right. Thank you. Thank you. And we're back with Dr. Carrie Fraser. We are discussing the Ruha Project for our young folks and their parents. We have covered quite a bit, Dr. Carrie. Will you tell us a little bit more about the Rites of Passage Academy, or RPA?
Well, you know, as I had mentioned earlier, it's designed to really boost the confidence and help develop life skills for young people as they go forward. And we've just found that if they get a good foundation in it and they start to feel comfortable with the characteristics of it and apply it to their own lives, they just do a whole lot better, whether it be at home or school or church or wherever they happen to go, or even work. And we know that a lot of families do that extremely well, but we know many families, that teaching is not there. And so we feel like if we can fill in that gap, that's going to make a big difference.
Okay, all right. And the Trinity Wellness Center, or TFWC as it's called.
Yeah, this program is one where, when I mentioned, one of the things that we know in East County for sure, well, in Costa County, with health statistics, African-American illnesses are 3 times higher than anyone else's in the area. And that's everything from diabetes to hypertension, stroke and heart disease, you name it, it's higher. And so Trinity Family Wellness Center was a way of trying to address that. And this is open not just to African Americans, but to all people who are low, moderate to low income, because we know that economics play a major part in people's health care. And what we do with that is we want to help people really understand the value of taking care of their health. And so we offer basic medical screenings like blood pressure, temperature, pulse, kind of like the vital sign package, so that they know what their numbers are. And in that, as we engage them, we find out if they have been seeing a doctor on a regular basis or even if they're connected at all. And so if we find that they don't, we try to get them connected and looking at what their health care coverage is. And if they have a doctor, to try to get them to go back and follow through with whatever their instructions were about taking care of their illnesses. And the gratification for us is that, you know, it's not always what you say to people. It's how do you say it and how do you welcome them around an issue that can be touchy. Their response to us has really been very positive. They enjoy people not making a judgment, but just starting where they are and really encouraging them to take care of themselves. And what we say to them in many ways is that you are valuable. We care about you. Someone cares about you. So don't let your health become a problem where you will not be able to be there for the people that care about you. Now, once the basic medical screening is done, and that may be the only thing that some people come for, but the other part of it is to do case management. I alluded to that in my last comment about helping people with needs beyond whatever programs that we're doing, like the Rites of Passage. This is one where we really are able to provide counseling, mental health education, support groups for people, as well as if not provide food and clothing, we certainly can link them up with organizations that do that, because we have some really good collaborations that if we make a phone call, we may be able to get somebody something that they need that otherwise they might have to wait a very long time or just not know how to get it.
And speaking of that, I would imagine that you guys are open for donations and any help you can receive.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have not, you know, we've gotten some small mini grants from the Black Families Association that used to be in Central County, and as I mentioned earlier, with First AME Church. But that's been, the rest of it has been just trying to do fundraisers, like the scholarship dinner that's coming up, and other things to try to raise money. So any donations that we, you know, people are willing to share with us, we will welcome them.
I'm just wondering, I guess I don't know, and this is sort of on the question of these type of organizations and off the script a little bit, but I know we always hear about there's a lot of grant money around for this, that, and the other. Do you find there's a database or anything around that your organization can look into to see if you could get any money from the outside organizations that have money to give for this type of project?
Well, you know, we certainly have heard they're out there. There's a whole process that nonprofits have to go through. First of all, it's not as easy as it sounds. You know, I think many years ago, if you had a nonprofit, people were just ready to offer you things and you could go forward. But what happens now is that, number one, you have to have had a track record for a period of time. And, you know, you have to be in line with whatever the funder wants. So you may have an idea, but if that's not in line with what the funder wants, then you're not going to get anything from that funder. So searching for the right matches is a full-time job often. And also collaborating with other organizations has been a new dynamic, or fairly new dynamic, where funders often don't want to give things to one person or one organization. They want you to partner with other organizations. And sometimes you can find matches and other times you can't, because they also have their own specific agendas. So what we decided to do is, before trying to really go after big grants that would pay salaries or whatever, is to develop our track record so that it would speak for itself. And so I'm just really proud to say that we have been doing what we wanted to do or set out in terms of our goals, and we've stayed consistent with that over these last 5 years. So that we do plan to apply for some things in the spring, but we have the data behind us, and we've proven that we can do it, as opposed to getting the money and hoping we can, and then possibly failing the grant, because that's the worst thing that can happen to you.
Yeah. It just sounds like you've got a good organization there with people that's thinking, and not just doing, so to speak. Yeah. That's great.
Well, I have to commend our board of directors, because they come from all different walks, and everybody is an expert in their own right. And so we've been blessed, and we have been able to pull people in for every facet of the organization. So we know we've got people we can go to that have some experience in whatever area, and we put our minds together, and we go forward with the consensus in order to carry out our plan.
Oh, well, that's great. That's just great. Okay, that leads us up to the 4th Annual Black History Art and Artifacts Exhibit on February 7th through the 21st of this year. The exhibit is free, with the hours set at 10 through 4, and I'll let you sort out the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday thing, because I made a mistake on the poster the other day. Can you give us any insight into what goes on at this event, and tell us and straighten us out about the time and all that good stuff?
Sure. Well, first of all, this is our 4th year to be able to do this in the Antioch community, and that was really a pioneering effort. You know, if you know the history of Antioch, it has not always been welcoming when it comes to, you know, African Americans. And so we made a decision that we wanted to engage the community, the larger community, in a real positive way. And so we knew that history speaks for itself. You don't have to wonder if black people contributed to this country and even the world. And so we wanted to present that so that not only African Americans would see it, but the larger community, and educate everyone in the process. So what's there when you come in, what you're going to see is a timeline that there's a section that looks at Africa in terms of where we came from, and then the Middle Passage in terms of the slave trade. And then you go on, and it's in a multipurpose room at the Nick Rodriguez Community Center downtown Antioch, in Old Antioch. And so as you go around the room, you'll be following the timeline. So you'll go from the slave trade then to the plantation, and see how the slaves adapted to plantation life, and then on to the church, which became a real key instrument in terms of helping to liberate slaves. And then we end up with the civil rights movement. We look at the colleges. Well, we look at the colleges first, and the whole segregation issue and how things were so-called separate but equal. But in that, you had black colleges that evolved, that out of that then were many of the civil rights leaders that we're celebrating now were educated. And so you'll be seeing that in some of the hallmark decisions, Voting Rights Act, Dred Scott, you know, all of that. And then once you finish that section, you'll be looking at educators and leaders, and then we have a whole section on inventors as well as the music. Mm-hmm. And we add in Kwanzaa because that was a real historic thing to have happen with, you know, having a holiday or a week-long holiday to celebrate community development within the African-American community. And we have a library of books that go all the way back to 1973 so that you can see the trends in terms of information in the African-American community and our psychologists and sociologists who wrote about what was happening with us. And then we end up with, and we feature, there's a section we feature called Making History. And this is an area where we focus on Antioch history. And, for instance, there's a gentleman by the name of Mr. Gaines, who was the first black person in Antioch. And so we have some memorabilia about him, Ernie Gaines. And then we go on to look at the city council. Many people don't know that Antioch has an African-American mayor. And that's a first for Antioch. Also a first to have a city councilman, Reggie Moore, who recently deceased, was the first African-American city councilman. And now we have also Monica Wilson, who is the first African-American woman on the city council. And so we want to make sure that people are aware of that, not just the historical past, but to look at now that history is being made. And from there we have a library, as I mentioned, and then we also have information about South Africa and Nelson Mandela in terms of him being an icon that set the bar for leadership around the world.
You know, I'm going to bring up something that's sort of been on my mind here, and maybe you can sort of sort it out for me. I guess, you know, it kind of surprised me. Let me sort of cut to the chase here so that I could stop wobbling along. But I was with my wife and I was with a friend. We were playing cards, and her son, who happens to be, I don't know, in his 40s or something like that, at that time it was last year, and it was a picture, 12 Years a Slave, that was the picture. And we were talking about how we went to see it and this, that, and the other. And I noticed a remark that he made was, I'm sick of all of those doggone slave pictures. I'm sick of stuff like Roots. Why y'all watch all of that stuff? And so we went on and we played cards. And I thought about it. I'm going, why would they? You know, because I noticed that sometimes, you know, some people, younger people, you know, other than who are back there, baby boomers, sort of our type of people, are sort of reluctant to get involved. And I'll tell you what happened is that a couple of Saturdays ago, I went to a men's ministry from our church, First Baptist, over here at La Pinata here. And we were talking with one of the guys. And this guy, and we were talking about the film Selma. And he happened to mention, well, I can't watch Selma. I said, I can't watch Selma. I can't watch none of those kind of films. And I said, well, why? He said, because the next day I go to work, I got to deal with white folks, and I'm already pissed off. They all look like they're racist to me. I just can't deal with it, you know. And I said, well, I'll be doggone. I know I have felt some of those same type of feelings, you know, when I watched old films back in the day. But, you know, you turn it off and, you know, you just kind of deal with it. But to me, the most important thing is that you know the history, because we're right back with the old saying is, if you don't know where you came from, you can't get to where you're trying to go.
Yeah, you know? I agree with you, and I've heard that before, and I've felt that on occasion, that some things were just too painful for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that knowing your history is critical, and what is so poignant in my mind now is that a lot of that history is still being played out today.
Mm-hmm.
So the solutions, there were some solutions, but there's still rampant racism and all of that, the systematic, that we have to deal with on a regular basis. So the films for me just kind of remind us that we've made some progress, but a lot of things are still the same. And so we have to stay vigilant and also persevering in order to deal with these things as they come up.
Yeah, that's the message to those type of people. Is that, as you just said, you know, we've got to, you know, we've got to know where we come from and understand that it's not over.
Well, you know, as long as they're committed to moving forward and making things better, whether they see the movies or not, you know, if they're aware, then that's another point. I think the bigger thing for me in terms of seeing the movies is our young people often do not have a clue of what went on back then or why. And so it's critical for them, the families, to take them to see the movies and also read the books so that they can close that information gap and begin to understand more about why parents are pushing them to be successful, more about how they behave and how they present themselves in the real world makes a difference. You know, we mentioned earlier about the sagging pants and those kind of things. Well, you know, when I look at that, I think about Roots, and that's how they kept Toby from running away, was to take his belt away, and he had a rope around his pants, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at the young people who think that's a fashion statement, and I see that as Plantation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the young people don't know that, though. And by them learning more and being able to see more visually, it can help them put it in context.
That's it. That's it, exactly. Yeah. Well, let me ask you again. The follow-up by Ruha's second annual scholarship dinner. Can you tell us a little bit about that if it happened on Saturday, February 28th?
Now, that one we're totally excited about because that was a stretch in terms of us venturing out last year. It was our first scholarship dinner, and we were just, when you don't know who's going to come and if we really have captured people's attention enough for them to support us, we were just really blessed with being able to give $3,000 in scholarships last year.
Oh,
and we have three young people who are in college now, one at Dillard, the other at Tuskegee Institute, and the other one at Clark Atlanta. And so we were just elated that that was able to happen. We had a benefactor who helped us, and that was Jim Frazier, who is the state assemblyman for District 11. Who had noticed the work that we were doing at the Black History Art Exhibit and came alongside of us and also contributed to our scholarship fund.
Okay.
And we will be doing the same thing this year at the same place, the Nick Rodriguez Community Center, downtown Antioch. On February 28th, we start at 7, and we'll be there until 10 for the event. There'll be a live auction, also a silent auction, and we're going to be having, there's a group called GRIO in Antioch that is a mentoring program for young men. Brother Lawrence Rashid is the director. Their young men are going to be available to us to help serve, and we have FA contest winners who will be acknowledged there, and it'll just be a great time to help people see why we're doing the dinner, because we'll have young people that can say what their dreams and hopes are that can help fuel our perseverance to get them the funds that they need to go to school. So if anybody out there wants to contribute to helping a child go to school, hopefully you'll consider us and support us in that scholarship effort. We've also been given a challenge this year. If we raise $3,000, we will also get an additional $3,000. So come and help us make sure that we hold up our end.
I hear you. And I understand the keynote speaker will be Ms.
Monica Wilson, I'm sorry, who is the African-American councilwoman that I mentioned. She's been very, very supportive to us from the very beginning, and so she's graciously consented to be our keynote speaker for that night.
And for the hungry, you're going to have a down home soul food buffet. Is that right?
Down home soul food. That's what we're going to have. Yes. So you know how you go to those dinners and everybody's eating rubber chicken?
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about it.
We decided that we were never going to do that.
Yeah,
you know, we like
rubber chicken.
No,
I was just going to say eating rubber chicken, and you can't hardly move your elbows because you're so close together.
Right, right. So no, we thought about that long and hard. We want people to really be able to enjoy good African American cuisine, and so we always will be presenting that, the soul food. So you know, you'll be all having right. a great meal if you come out.
All right, and there's a jazz and gospel meeting.
And one other, additionally, we're going to have a jazz gospel band.
Okay.
Yeah, and let's see what. Yeah, a jazz guy. And we do community service awards at our scholarship dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We look for people in the community who have just really worked and served but may have not
mm-hmm.
been recognized. Last
mm-hmm.
year we had a gentleman who had worked tirelessly in the community working with AIDS patients, and also a young woman who has an organization called Parent Partners Providing for the Education of Young Children, who has worked over in the Rivertown area daily, providing an after-school program for children and doing other things in the east and central communities. And so we were able to really let them know that we noticed, and we wanted to applaud them for their work. And we also gave certificates of appreciation to the city and to churches that were doing outstanding work in the community. So we're going to repeat that process then again this time.
Well, okay. And this is sponsored by?
Sponsored by Ruha Community Outreach.
Okay.
And the donation for that night is $50.
Okay, which is a small sum when it comes to the benefits that it's going to gain from it.
Yeah, and also,
and,
you know, with it being tax deductible, that's a bargain as well.
That's true. And don't we know that, you know, tax time is rolling around here.
Right.
Especially for me.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
and, go ahead.
No, I said I do have one correction. I was looking back at my numbers that I gave you earlier, the number of people that we served,
mm-hmm.
and apparently it was a typo. It
mm-hmm.
should have been 7,500, not 17.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah,
no,
I don't want.
That's still a
large, you know,
number.
I mean, I'm proud of that. I looked at it again and I thought, no, but it's 7,500.
No, you reach that number next year. Yeah.
Well, you know, I hope so. I sincerely do.
That's it.
Yeah,
and so you have
go,
two
I...
points. Of, no, I know we're not going, but I do want to get in. You have 2 points of contact for this RUA scholarship fund, and they've got Jesse Thompson and, of course, your name. So you want to give that contact information out?
Okay, Jesse Thompson's number, she's our secretary of our board, and her phone number is area 925-825-3780.
Mm-hmm.
And my contact number is area 925-787-4827.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very good. Well, I tell you, this has been quite a bit. I tell you, like I say, I've been impressed with the information you've given us. I'm just happy to see it. First of all, I want to thank you for being such a great sport and for your patience with me as I ask these questions about the RUHA program. I also wanted so much to get as much information out to our audience as possible. You have done an outstanding job and have been a wonderful guest. And you could tell you and your volunteers and the board of directors that, hey, you guys are doing a yeoman's job because, you know, I'm sure you could see it in the results of the people's faces that you're helping. It is our intention to keep in touch with you as a representative of RUHA as you offer somewhat of a role model in addressing our youth life skills. Is there anything else you want to add to what might have been omitted, Dr. Carey?
Okay. One thing I want to commend you on is by pronouncing the name right. You say RUHA.
Oh.
Right. Many people don't know what that is, and it's a Hebrew term for Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And so I just thank you again for pronouncing it accurately, and the other part is for the opportunity just to be able to come and talk. You know, when you're really at the foundation of something that's close to your heart, you love to be able to talk about it. And so tonight
exactly.
was just beautiful to be able to do that. I want to add one more thing, and that is We want to solicit prayers from our audience. We have our foot in the door over at Deer Valley High School, where a lot of the trouble was going on with African-American children, especially African-American girls, and fighting. We've put a proposal forward to be able to go and offer the Rites of Passage program in lieu of suspension. And so we're praying for that, as well as to develop a girl support group there. So we haven't gotten the word back yet, so we're asking people to pray that that door will be opened and we'll be able to start there very shortly so that we can make some impact before school is out.
Well, you'll certainly be in our prayers, that's for sure. Yeah, yeah. I want to thank you, Dr. Carey. Once again, we want to thank you for your appearance. As I said, I can't think of anything else I wanted to ask you, because you gave a very insightful explanation of what, when, and how and where. So one other thing, I believe the AMA sponsored the AMA organization, is that in Bay Point or Pittsburgh?
Yeah, the church is in Bay Point. Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's
which is
we're holding the Rites of Passage class.
Yeah, which in my mind is West Pittsburgh, but that's okay. Yeah.
Right, 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 I know. Little question about incorporation and all that stuff. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this story. When I moved out here from Oakland back in 1996, they said, well, you know, I was dealing with this house and another house that was in Bay Point. And she told me Bay Point. I said, where is that? Right next to Pittsburgh. So anyway, when we moved out here, I said, my goodness, you know, it's like driving down the street and all of a sudden you're in Bay Point and you go, well, what? And then you start hearing the stories about West Pittsburgh, this, that, the other. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the church sits up on a nice hill, and it's a nice looking church if you can see it from Highway 4. So I have to commend them for backing a very good organization, and it sounds like, as I said, your board of directors and you and everybody that's involved have got yourself a very good, outstanding program that's going to be very beneficial to the people that you try to serve here. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll make sure I pass that on to the board, because the board, if it worked for them being able to help teach as well as anything else that was needed, we wouldn't be able to do this. And so they've been a real blessing and support.
Exactly.
And you have a wonderful night, and thank you again for the opportunity.
All right. We'll be talking. Take it easy.
Okay.
Dr. Carey.
All right.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
All right. That was Dr. Carey, and I'm sure you heard the program and understand what she's actually doing now over there. And I mean, it's a commendable project, that's for sure. Well, we get into the second half of our program, and Calvin Richardson is an American R&B and soul singer songwriter. In 1999, he released his debut soul low album, Country Boy. Richardson was signed to Tommy Boy Records in the early 1990s as a member of the R&B group Undercover, whose song, Love Slave, appeared on the soundtrack to the 1995 film New Jersey Drive. Charlie Wilson has been quoted as saying, Calvin Richardson is one of the most talented artists in the business. Last year, he collaborated with Babyface to write the Charlie Wilson hit, There Goes My Baby. On June 25th, 2010, he received an ASCAP Rhythm and Soul Music Award for writing and publishing the song. He was also nominated twice by the Grammy organization for one of his previous CDs entitled Facts of Life. The album was a tribute to the late, great Bobby Womack. In fact, on the album we are reviewing today, entitled, again, I Am Calvin, he provides the following tribute. Special thanks to the late, great, legendary Bobby Womack for all of the quiet lessons you've taught me about life as well as music through song. I am forever your student with the heart of a teacher. You can rest in peace knowing I would do my very best to keep the soul alive. That's a fact of life. I've selected a few cuts from a CD for your review. They are some of my favorites, of course. We're going to introduce the gentleman by playing you the first two cuts from the CD, I Am Calvin, executive produced by Calvin Richardson, Eric Benet, and Demonte Posey. The cuts are called Before This Moment Leaves and We Gonna Love Tonight. So here is the first one, Before the Moment Leaves, and We Gonna Love, followed by We Gonna Love Tonight.
Tell me where to go. Tell me what I need to say. There's a part of me that's gone. You're the part of me that's going away, babe. Together we're alone. It's like the best of me is gone.
Gonna heal those wounds you have, supply you need. 'Cause What would I do, baby?
way, just so you know, I saw you, caller, but you left, and I couldn't click you on while the music was playing. But anyway, just so you know, you can check out Calvin Richardson's bio. He is headlined as the Prince of Soul. You can also find his bio at iamcalvinrichardson.com/bio.php. He also has a Facebook page at facebook.com/iamcalvinrichardson fan page. Question mark, REF equals sign TS. Check him out. In this age of gimmick for music and process packaged music and singing in it, is refreshing to hear music that is arranged and performed like this. It reminds us old school people of why we are invested so much money in our stereo equipment. You feel me? How music is so much more enjoyable when listening to an entire ensemble. There's a lot of great singers out there which your ears can identify upon hearing their sound. I certainly don't have anything against the computer age. I just think it's better used as an enhancement in lieu of creating an entire band, background, and singers. Yes, as you know, I am still old school from back in the day, but that is not to dismiss some efforts or shortchange creativity. There's room for both. Let's just not overlook the history or the sounds of rhythm and blues. The I Am Calvin CD is an excellent representative of that history and sounds, with Calvin Richardson, a perfect example of a soul singer. Here's another selection from that CD entitled More Than a Picture, once again from I Am Calvin, Calvin Richardson himself.
long to hold you tight, but you're not with me. I need you here, right here by my side. Your picture's not enough. Brain just can't contain.
Keep it moving. Our last song for the evening from the I Am Calvin CD is entitled Home in a Minute. Again, it's written by Calvin Richardson, DeMonte Posey, and Eric Benet. Again, here is Home in a Minute.
It's on tonight, say.
Well, as usual, I went past my time, and it doesn't matter. I probably lost a few listeners, but you'll be able to pick it up on the podcast or listen at it again. But I'm going to continue on with the show because there are some things that I do want to get in here. One is this last word segment, and I'll start with that. My last word tonight is about pride in our black culture. Primarily, we need economic stability for the shrinking middle class and lower class people of our society. People need to see a way out of their everyday poor environment. Remember Jesse Jackson's Keep Hope Alive message from back in the day? It is still relevant today as ever. Yet, they are rays of hope around us, no matter how dreary it seems sometimes. We as black people are making the moves to get in touch with our own culture. You see that in the black women turning back to wearing naturals as a matter of practicality and style. We see more and more posted on social networks of supporting black-owned businesses this past holiday with your dollars. Our national magazines, newspapers, and television media have taken note, too. Unfortunately, it's taken tragedies and incidents like the Michael Brown killing in Ferguson, the deaths of Eric Garner in New York, and Tamir Rice in Cleveland. This, to name a few, among others, has brought us all closer in a more diverse way since the 60s. Yes, how we can get to this place of circling our wagons, so to speak, is vitally important. Murder is murder, which there is no excuse for taking another life in that manner. That specifically includes the murder of the two policemen in New York by a deranged killer. The fact that we are moving in a positive direction must not be halted. It will pay off for our families, ourselves, our communities, and believe it or not, our country. We are learning, and it has been a very long and slow educational process. We are learning that all people care about their neighbor's welfare. We are not as divided as some media outlets think we are. And let me clarify the word we right away. In this sense, the word we means black people, Hispanics, white people, Asians, and all classes, creeds, and color of people. All kinds of people are involved in this have against the have-not class struggle going on in the United States today. Because that is what it really boils down to. Some super rich folks who benefit from keeping this nation divided, not all, but certainly some, look forward to the common folk, as in the evaporated middle class, fighting among themselves for the trickle-down economic they want to force upon it. So kudos to all you all for realizing it as a struggle we must address nonviolently in ways and means that will make a difference. That means in peaceful protest and redirecting our consumer dollars to companies and entities that will serve you and your community. It also means making people accountable for the job and position in which they have been placed. It is going to be tough, but we will win because in the end, we are people of the United States. And just as importantly, God ensures that the righteous always win in the end. So in that vein, let us have a peaceful year of gains and progress, like the RUHA programs for our children that Dr. Carrie Fraser spoke about earlier. Let us make 2015 a banner year for black, brown, yellow, and white middle-class progress. If protest is needed, then so be it. But make it peaceful, and by all means, hold officials feet to the fire and insist they do their jobs. As we go through this coming year, here's a song for all of us. I know you will not ask for it, so I will ask for it with this song by Kim from his latest CD entitled Promise to Love. The song is called Pray for Me.
Father, oh yeah, hey yeah, Father, oh yeah. Oh, it's a whole new world taking over my life. life over my will. And mama, I feel like a soldier keeping my eyes on the hill. So pray for me. Oh, pray, pray for me, pray for me. Darling, please, pray for me. Oh, pray, pray for me. When I call out, fall on my knees, will I confess what I believe? If we walk by what we see, then we may never, ever be free. Oh, pray for me, pray for me. Please pray, pray for me. Darling, please pray for me. Oh, pray, pray for me. It must be you covering me. The more I hurt, the more you believe. I lay my cares out on the sea. A little more faith is all I need. Please pray for me. Oh, pray, pray for me. Girl, pray for me. Darling, please pray for me. Oh, pray, pray for me. And pray for me, pray for me.
All right, all right. As always, we meet here at the corner on a bi-monthly basis. I am your host, Curtis Hampton II. Just so you and the audience know, we do have chat room capabilities here. You can even chat among yourselves while you wait to ask our guests or myself a question. Sorry, caller, a couple of callers here I lost. But anyway, we'll get better. Since we always sprinkle our show with 5 to 6 musical cuts from our favorite artists, let us know your favorites, and I will try to get them in. If there are any comments, you can post them right on the show's comment section. Please join us on Wednesday, February 11th at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our guest will be author and creator of the Civic Mentor Program, that being an electronic bulletin board for the San Francisco, Oakland, and East Bay areas. His name, David Nelson. We also have an artist and researcher, Kimberly Johnson, with us. She will provide her take on people and events that occurred in our black history. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, February is Black History Month. We should have a lot of fun digging up those rare occurrences, deeds, and inventions that are credited to black folks. Meanwhile, I tell you what, we might as well say goodbye for now. Thanks for sticking with me. Thanks for the support of this show, our blog, and comments, and on how we are doing. It is 2015, people, and this is only the beginning. I can promise you that. Details of our guests and other specifics will be available on our website, including LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as other social media. Can't join us while we are live, you can always tune in to our website and listen to the show at your leisure. Once again, this is Hampton. This is Hampton II. We'll see you next time. For now, peace. And thank God tonight for making it such a wonderful day and a more promising tomorrow. Good night. Peace.